It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, how long has psychology and psychiatry been around? Or religion? And what good has it done? Now, do I say that, am I implying that a kind of psychology and a pinch of religion isn't valuable? It is. But how long has it been around and ensconced in the minds of experts who have degrees on the wall? And does the talking cure work? Can you cure spiritual diseases? See, nearly all of the problems of the world are through loss of control. See, animals don't need to have control. They are triggered naturally by their environment. But we are triggered in an unnatural way by our environment. And so we form an identity, a nature. In other words, we are devolving. So every person who's sick, who got problems, mental, emotional, and physical, the chances are about 90%, at least 90%, is because they are devolving. Human beings cannot evolve. They can adapt downwardly. Adaptation is always downward, never upward. Now, upward means salvation from downward transcendence. Did you understand a word I said? I don't think so. Maybe I should say it more times. 800-866-8883. Emotions like resentment, hurt feelings, annoyed, aggravated, irritated, peeved, frustrated, these are all self-downward transcending flaws. In other words, you are becoming less of a human. You have a trailing a human potential called conscience, like the hound of heaven. It pursues you. But you think of it as your enemy because you have entertaining the enemy from below. The emotions open the door of your mind, and not only does it produce a downward self-transcendence, a devolution, it also causes devolution, like in devil, D-E-V-I-L, devolution. In other words, something more than evolution or downward mutation. I mean, the word is mutation. Something more than mutation. Mutation is taking place. And that is conflict. Now, wicked people do not have conflict. They rarely get disease because they don't get ulcers they give them. Some of the cruelest people on earth have no conscience. They have, and therefore, as Shakespeare said, the good die young. And he said something else, which I don't remember. Something about evil or turd in their bones. I could just barely remember. That part I remembered. I'm not a Shakespeare fan, but certain things can't help. Makes sense. That stands out, bing, like that. The good die young because of conflict. And if you have conflict, I can help you because you still have a consciousness. You still have a soul. It isn't completely corrupted where you think evil is good and good is evil. But not completely. You may see that, you see that, but you know that something's wrong with it because you know the person you're looking at, like, for instance, I'm a decent fellow. So but something inside you tells you, I'm evil. But you know that's not so. But then, of course, and there is a person who actually thinks that. As a matter of fact, there's a kind of person But they surround Israel right now, don't they? Those kinds of people, like, you know, hundreds of millions. Yeah, hundreds of millions representing. They think of Israel as, you know, terrorists, evil, the stench of the universe. See, the reason for all the suffering on earth. And it's them. It's that Karl Marx said, accuse others of what you are, project. And that's what's happening. And you don't hear a word from the media saying this is wrong, do you? Because they are in cahoots with the wickedness in this country that says that the Tea Party are terrorists.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
Here we are again. Well, let's take our calls. As sparse as I expect them to be, but let's take them anyway. I do hope ladies will call, because I am not blaming you for anything. I am blaming the men for the horror that they bring up in you. I understand what you good women want. You want a man that says no to you. You want a man that you can't get your way with. It relieves you. It's some kind of mysterious relief when you find a man that loves God, loves what's right, and knows what's wrong with you, and says no to you, like a kind father, a patient father, with a little kid that just wants his way. And he just wants his way, it's just unreasonable. And if a kind father simply is patient and just lets him rant and rave until he's exhausted, and the father still loves him, so that's the love that keeps him getting angry and or giving in or getting angry and beating him up. Because that's the kind of father that's not a father. It's the same thing with the, you know, women have a quality of naughtiness. They are born with this naughtiness. And you know that, so they can almost have any man just with a touch, a look. And the man's gone. I mean, immediately hypnotic state. He invites him into her as if it was paradise. No, it's hell. And she knows it. But somehow he is drawing the hell up through her, so it infects both of them. And he seems to be enjoying it for a while, abusing you, using you, and you know it. But it looks like love. It's all there is. What else is there? I know how you feel. So how can you have a relationship with a man that isn't a man? Now, I haven't had one call from any man saying, how dare you call me not a man? You know, because I say that every man is one of two things. As a matter of fact, he could be both. He could be mean one moment, SOB one moment, and, you know, sweet and loving and buying flowers the next. But it's all manipulative to go through extremes like that. That's how you manipulate somebody and manipulate a woman to give herself to you. And she may think that because she yielded to the pressure, that yielding affected a cure, meaning that caused the angry man to love her. One of the favorite tricks that men have is when they find a virtuous lady and he can't have his way with her, what he does he's become angry with her as if she'd done something wrong, as if she wasn't a real woman. And the real woman holds her ground. And then but somehow she's polite and puts up with the nonsense of what looks like, in what appeared to her to be a decent man, but suddenly he's shown another side. Good looking, you know, and virile, and, you know, radiating with it. So she seems, looks like a strong man, but he's not displaying real strength. He's displaying a weakness. And he's mean. He starts to be mean, and then he gets so upset because he can't upset her, he starts to cry a little bit and feel bad and blame the woman for making him feel. Then if she's affected by that barrage of cruelty and then a sudden bit of wimpiness, she may be affected by those game playing and be upset without realizing being upset, and then suddenly sexually aroused and give herself to him. I wonder if you ladies have ever gone through that and lost your virtue. So how about you get your virtue back? I could show you. All right, now we can take our call now. Arlene in Arizona. Hello. Arlene, are you there? I can't hear. Is it Arlene? Well, the questions on being a weak and appeasing wife, I wish you would just make sure that they are there so I won't have to sort of frail around. And let's take Frank in California. Okay, thank you. You press that button. Oh, thank you very much. Frank in California.
Yes, thank you, sir. I've gotten a lot out of your programs, both your radio and your this Sunday morning conversations that are taped. That I've called in several times. And I've gotten a lot out of your instruction and lecture. And I'm in a quandary. You know, it's symptomatic of problems that originated from family. I'm having a hard time making a decision as to where to go to university. You know, one choice is in the beautiful San Diego. It's beautiful.
It was how old are you?
I'm embarrassingly, I'm in my late 30s.
Well, what are you going to go to university for? What is the reason for you going there? I mean, I know to learn, but learn what? What happened to my callers? I'm losing them. But what happened? Okay. Okay, so now I don't know who to talk to. Do I talk to... Okay, so maybe... we're having trouble... Okay, well, I won't use my control surface. You press the buttons. And I'm talking to my producer. We've got a problem here.
Hello,
Arlene.
Hi, Mr. Masters.
What can I do for you?
Hi there. I've called you a time or two before, and listening to you this evening and listening to the Sunday conversation over the Internet, I am just a classic example of what you're talking about as a weak, appeasing woman.
Yes, well, that's where the danger lies. In other words, what you need is to have the courage to take, not to be angry, and yes, to understand that your husband, if your husband's a bully, or a manipulating, feminine kind of person who sort of is syrupy and buys you flowers, you can have contempt for that.
Yeah.
I understand that. And then and that would be temptation enough for you to resent it and give in to him, because that's the only peace you have. See what I mean? You're going along.
I do understand that. He's a bully.
You are
weak and appeasing. He's a retired police officer.
I know, but you are not helping him.
I know.
Listen, you as a woman, you should have the same powers of spiritual strength as any man can have. In that sense, you're not any different.
I sense that, and I'm getting there.
And And if I can play the role of a dad, the one that loves you,
yeah.
But I don't, I can't say I love you, I don't know you are, but I know from your voice that you're a sweet lady and that you love what's right in your heart, you love God.
I truly
but you don't
do.
Quite you don't quite connect with him. That's all. And so if all I need to do is bear witness to that something you once had and lost because you were born into a home that brought about this appeasing state that robbed you of your independent self.
Right.
Somebody bullied you into submission.
I stuttered as a child.
Okay. Now, you know the reason for that. You know the condition that brought that up. You lost your ability to speak fluently.
Mm-hmm. Now,
because when you are upset, one of the reasons for stuttering and not being able to, or being shy and not saying anything, is because the wisdom doesn't flow naturally anymore once you start to become seriously upset, terminally upset. You can't express yourself. You cannot. You're disconnected from a natural expression, a flow of words, such as I'm using with you now.
I see that, and I've had several feelings of a river of life coming through me, and I feel much more open, and I'm able to speak up now.
But not so much speaking up. First is to look at your angry husband. And see that as a responsible person, really all the responsibility is of men, but there are times when God will give you strength to deal with a strong man like your husband. He will give you certain strength for a period of time until that beautiful strength that he should have, which now resides in you for a while, holds up a mirror and he looks at himself and without you trying to make him be a man, the fact that you don't get upset with him and you this shining light that keeps you from being upset reminds him of what he should be, like a mirror. And then when that's how a man discovers himself through the auspices of a woman. Not because you try to make him a man, but he can't turn you into a subservient wimp to feed his beast.
Right.
And so then he becomes more contemptuous of your miserable little squirrely thing that you've become. He has contempt for you too. He just feels like you're easy and he can use you anytime he wants without consequence.
Right. I did attempt to speak up in the past, it just was ineffective.
But it's only the wimp that speaks up. The mouse roared a little bit. See? It's not the speaking up so much. It's the look, it's the body language, it is the fierceness of not being angry and fierce and angry inside yourself, but being sort of squashed because you have to suppress it, and give yourself to relieve the pain of the constant barrage and brutality. See?
Yes, I can see that, and a lot is getting better there. I've been working on meditating for at least 8 months now. I'm in a better place.
But how is it affecting him?
So about 2 weeks ago, he was getting very, very upset.
Yes.
And it was to draw attention to himself and to create chaos.
Yes.
And something just had me get up and move, and I looked at him and I said, "You need to stop intimidating me." And
that's good.
And it was just clean and surgical. And matter of fact, I wasn't even angry. I just got up and moved.
Perfect.
And said what I needed to say. And he left the room, and he hasn't spoken to me in about 3 weeks. So
that's,
it must have been quite a mirror that he looked in.
It was absolutely perfect. Now, that is power.
It was. It was.
But you were only the agent of it. You didn't remember. You didn't need to use any power. Something moved through you in that moment, and you weren't calm because of some magical control and suppressed expression.
That's right.
See? It was a gift. Hold fast to that gift and bless that gift and feel confident now.
Okay.
And you don't need a man to be confident. You need a man to practice on. You need a man to practice your confidence on. And when he wakes up and becomes a noble person, God will take away that for a season, because that will give him a chance to deal with you in your weakness, so that it comes from him. And then you have a divine order. I promise
that
you.
Would be so wonderful.
Yeah, because you see why it's necessary for him to take that away. So when it appears in him, you obey the divine order. You love the truth in him now. And you
That's
give yourself to him without
yes.
blaming, because he's a good man. And you're giving yourself, the good in you is giving yourself to the good in him in the divine order. Not that you're submissive, it's just an order.
I understand. There's a difference there. And I'm hungry for that order.
But you already have that. It's already started. So it is another opportunity. He hasn't spoken. It must have been such a shock that he is sort of paralyzed for the last couple of weeks. Excellent.
Yes.
Now make sure you're polite. Make sure you make his dinner and say good morning, good afternoon, how are you doing? Or, you know, just have a nice attitude and don't say anything. Maybe words disturb him. See?
He'll build words as a wall around him to shut himself off. So I don't want to exacerbate and needle him. That's not the purpose of the gift of that message.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. You're a good student.
I'm a good listener.
You see, now, I represent the dad you didn't have.
You do.
And that's what it only takes a man. That's why they sent Jesus as a man, because God doesn't send a woman to do a man's job. No disrespect. Just be glad it wasn't a woman.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you okay now? You call me if you need me.
I will. This is my third time I've called you.
That's good.
I didn't want to respond to internal pressure of my old ways of when things are different or upside down, when actually they're right side up right now, and I don't want that old pressure of responding to what
you don't
I think
need
I to
do. What
to
you
separate.
Did what you did is enough to last that 3 weeks, or maybe and don't worry about being lonely. Yeah, I don't think you feel lonely. I think you feel somehow that you're alive and free for the first time.
You are absolutely right. I feel relieved, and I don't feel angry. I just feel present.
I like that. Wish I could. I wish I could have thought of that. But it's right. It's better you say it. It's better you see it.
You say all kinds of wonderful things.
Thank you. Well, you just said you feel present.
Yes,
That's fine.
I feel present.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A gift. Yeah.
That's a gift. Hang
Rising
on.
Rising out
it.
Of the chaos.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Masters. You're my friend. Here in Arizona, you're my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish all the women would, you know, pay attention to what I'm saying. I get a lot of mail from the ladies, and it seems like the ladies support me more than men. And maybe that's not surprising. Thank you very much. All right, now we're going to take another call. 800-866-8883. I'd like to remind you that the seminar is starting the Labor Day weekend, the three-day seminar, Saturday, September the 3rd. We start our first day through Monday, 5th. And you go home on Tuesday if you want to, or leave the same night if you want, whatever you wish. And we'll spend several hours a day, 5-6 hours a day, and you won't notice the time going by. And I want you to please, this is the kind of person I want to come. You know, one who's mentally, emotionally stricken, and endless loops of thoughts, depressed, PTSD, anything that no doctor has been able to fix. Now, I can't give you a new leg, sorry. See, but there's no limit to what else I am able to do. As I mean, I don't. It sounds braggadocious, doesn't it? Well, I'm the instrument of it. I don't know how it works. All I know is that there's a certain energy. You know, women have an energy, and a very captivating energy, and somewhat destructive, if imbibed and utilized, you know, in the wrong way. And well, men should have a certain men healers. Men should heal love. They have men when they're not infected by the ladies and caught up with them. They have a certain aura, energy field around them that insulates them from harm or mischief from the female, so that a real man, women can't have their way with them, because men, that kind of man, does not take advantage, or press his advantage, or what he thinks is advantage. That's the better way of looking at it, because it's not an advantage. It's the illusion of advantage. It's the illusion of becoming happier and feeling better about oneself. You're actually in decline. The relationship with men and women is very wholesome, holy. It's got to be that way. And I have to preach to the men to understand that, you know, they have to have an energy field around them that the women can't penetrate. If you're weak, you get sucked in, you get siphoned in, and you can't get out. And so you can struggle. The more you struggle, the more exciting she is. The more bonded you are to that person for the feeling of being alive when you're really dying. See? And you don't like to hear that, do you? And so this is not common knowledge. It's the kind of love-hate stuff that makes the world go round and down. We are dying from the wrong kind of relationship. And ministers and rabbis and imams, well, maybe not them, they're rather strict with the ladies, but they don't treat women. They treat women like cattle. So let's put that one aside. But psychiatry, psychology, medicine, they do not understand what sickness is. You have a specialist that will deal with your heart, especially that will deal with your guts. They're specialists that deal with your prostate and your PP. Excuse me, but these are not separate illnesses. This is all connected. And if you could deal with one thing only, all of the problems disappear. But very few people understand. I've written 17 books. You hear me every day. Every now and then I read from a book, and it's in there. And it chronicles the sequence, and it back engineers them. So if you come to the seminar and state your problem, and they say you stop I've got a smoking problem, I will tell you what the doctor will say to you: you've got to stop smoking, because you know you're going to die, you're going to get emphysema. But it's not only you may get cancer, but even though you got cancer, you still can't stop. And if you do stop, you develop another illness worse, another habit that will produce a different kind of illness. In other words, you need another excess to keep your mind numbed to the life you're living, so that you feel okay about yourself, calm and composed. Okay, but I will talk to you about that in a few minutes. Time's running out. All right. Now, I was talking a few minutes. This is part of a commercial time, but I want to use it up just to finish the thought. Is a doctor will say, you got to stop smoking, but that's okay to say. He can say it's not good for you. And on the packet, it says, you know, smoking is bad for your health. And the Surgeon General says, it's like skull and crossbones on there. But you'd smoke just the same, even though it says poison. You do lots of things which are poison and ignore it because it makes you feel good. You'll shoot up and it's poison, but it'll kill you. But never mind you. The pleasure is more important, the relief of pain, the pain of existence. So, back to smoking. But if I said to you, what you're really doing is killing, is drugging an angry tiger inside you. Yes! I said, that's why you smoke, because you're guilty of being resentful, angry, and irritable, and frustrated. What is your frustration? What are you frustrated about? Well, then pretty soon the person speaking about frustrations, which is the name of the game. And so no sooner as I finish talking about these things, we come right back to a simple technique, whereby suddenly he's not able to lift the cigarette to his mouth. All of a sudden it starts to taste funny, and he doesn't want it anymore. He walks away, and his health recovers. Not only just the smoking goes away, cancer goes away. Connected to it. He's smoking to hide something, to get some peace, relief, to not to seem to be agitated, to seem to be calm and composed. It's because you're in business and you have to have composure. So you smoke a cigarette before you go into the boardroom. See, and then you smoke a cigarette after you came out because it was a harrowing experience. So it's the same thing with lots of things like that. So, but smoking is a way of staying calm and composed and seeming to be, you know, dignified. But it's killing you. And although it's legal, that's why it makes it all the more support. The legality of it is what supports it. But if it was forbidden, you'd find a way of smoking anyway, wouldn't you? You'd secretly smoke. And if it was against the law, you'd still do it. You'd still buy your cigarette somewhere else and smoke in secret. You would. And then you'd be the drug addict you really are. But the point is, you can't help it. You can't stop something like that because of a misunderstanding. Really, the misunderstanding is that you are, the conscience is the enemy. That you don't know how to deal with realizing what's wrong with you. And I try to get you to realize what's wrong with you and making the conscience, but that was the enemy, your friend. See, now, do you understand your conscience is your friend, but you treat it like the enemy? That's why you shoot up. But it's the enemy the enemy within you is making you think that the conscience is your enemy. And it draws you to the wrong kinds of friends that make you feel better than you deserve. Now do you know why you need Be Still and Know and get some of my books? I won't tell you which one. Go pick one. Go to Amazon if you don't want to go to my website, fhu.com. Right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6647. That's K6647. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call the FHU office at 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Okay. We got Frankenstein. Frank, hello.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Now, where were we?
I have a decision to make. I'm kind of it involves picking a university out of, one out of two. The ones closest to the city.
No. Spare me all that. Spare me that. You can't make decisions. I get it. So what are you going to college for? I mean, what's compelling you?
To enhance what I already have, to enhance my the professional license I already have.
Well, what do you have? What kind of life is it?
Well, I have a law degree.
A law degree?
Yes.
And so how does it enhance your life?
Well, it will open up doors for other positions.
Fair enough. And you love law?
No, I don't. Actually, that's why the program I'm getting into is a master's in business, so it'll be able to combine the law and the business.
Yeah, most lawyers are not businessmen, are they?
Exactly. We can't be.
Yeah, they ruin business.
Yeah.
They're deal breakers.
Exactly.
I don't know why you're asking me a simple question. It's only a matter of, it would be if you love what you're doing.
I don't love what I'm doing. I know that's why I want to. That's why I want to get this additional.
But don't love the law. Don't love practicing law.
No, I do not. It's corrupt, and people come to me with problems similar to yours, and I can't. You know, and I refer them to you actually. But no, really, I do. I told them that, you know, this works, this meditation works, but it's too tawdry. It's far too tawdry and corrupt for a lot of reasons.
But if you're going to expand your career, it's got to be towards some good must come from it.
Yes, yes.
Or you might want to change and do something different. I've got a gentleman. He has a law degree. He can still practice it anytime he wants to. And he has a physics degree.
Oh, great.
And he has a master's degree in philosophy.
Well, that's kind of the area I'm kind of getting into these programs.
But the point is, he would rather have an ordinary salary, which we pay him, decent salary, but we can't pay very much, and he knows that. He could make $400,000 or $500,000 a year. He knows that. He just wants to do something meaningful.
That's where.
And
I
he's
am.
Happy there.
Well, that's where.
Why can't you do the same thing? Why can't you have this? Take what you have, and see if you can't work it into something valuable.
Well, Mr. Masters, this degree will help me do that. I'm definitely confident of that. So, but it's just a matter of.
Okay, so you want to turn it into something valuable,
something more meaningful. Yes.
So it's painful that you have to go through it.
No, it's just the choice is painful because on one hand, the wiser choice would be go to the university that's close to my hometown. You know, I'm the run of the litter. My family's here. They've always picked on me.
And what's the lure of the other one?
The other one is San Diego, which is beautiful, but it's a brand new facility. You know, I could practice either way. It's a full-time program, but San Diego's beautiful, but they're newer and they're not as organized as this other university is.
Well, that's a no-brainer. Stay where you are.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. It's like castor oil. One would be an escape.
You got it. You got it.
You know, take something that's good for me, doesn't taste very good, or run after.
Well, you probably have a little trouble with family, and that maybe when you say escape, it's a key word there.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, I almost think it's like, if I stayed in this town, it's like the dog returning to his vomit. You know, it's almost like that. But however, if I'm able to, if I'm able to learn how to deal with the outside pressure,
that's the idea. That's more like it. That's more like it. Deal with the outside pressure so it isn't pressure anymore and everything is sweet.
Okay, that's the wise choice. Okay, that's
the wise choice. Don't run from it. Don't run from it. That's where the conflict comes, where the quandary is.
Okay,
don't run from it. Face it. Deal with it. Well, I don't know what those problems are. I don't know if you're married or you have problems with your mom and dad and siblings.
Yeah, mother and siblings. I'm the runt, and so I get put in a box. That, you know, I got picked on, pushed around.
Well, but I don't. You don't sound like the person that is still pushed around.
Well, no, but I'm more mature, and you've helped a lot. I mean, I've been listening to your program for about a year and a half now, and it's you know, the wisdom that comes through you is just priceless. You know.
Thank you. Sometimes I struggle for the words to come out. I'm older now; the words don't flow that quickly. But they're still there.
Well, and your son David should be commended as well. I get a lot out of his.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. And my son, who's CEO of a company, he says, although I like to put David on, he's very good. He says, my voice is a brand. Not, but I'm a bit hoarse right now, but My voice is a brand so that what people are looking for the brand, meaning I've been doing this 53 years.
Certainly,
so David,
very elegant and obviously British.
Yeah, it is. But I'm an American citizen. I love my country and my adopted country. And I don't want to see it, you know, go down the tubes when I know how to fix it.
I can appreciate that.
So I'm just calling upon, you know, Americans to help me. That's all I need is a bigger soapbox and money to help save our soldiers.
You know, they really are teaching. They really are using your meditation in the veterans' PTSD classes. I had a client, and he was an older man, Vietnam veteran, and he was taking the anger management classes because he says he has PTSD. And I says, well, I try to introduce him to your meditation. He says, oh, we already listened to that.
I'm like, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's good. Did he say anything positive?
Well, he's a ne'er-do-well. He tries to ignore it when they play it.
Oh, I see. He doesn't want to hear it.
Exactly.
Yes.
He just wants the benefit. He doesn't want the...
Some people are afraid of it. They're afraid. Yeah. They're very comfortable in their corporeal skin.
Yeah, but I was very heartened by the fact that indeed they do use it.
I'm so glad.
Sacramento, so.
Yeah, it's everywhere now. Except the government should, I should have a grant from the government. You have all kinds of ridiculous grants given to everybody for the biggest nonsense, and for this, which is well known in the military, nothing.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
It's sad. And I'm willing to give the rest of my life to the soldiers, to the veterans, because I need to have, I know that Colonel Monaco can't, he distributes all these, he's done a wonderful PR job, but he can't help the more difficult situations. Some of them are more difficult than others, and they need a touch that I have, that I've developed over the last 53 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I need to be out and about so that pick up the stragglers and make sure that they all make it. That's what I want to do.
God will continue to support you, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad that you're going to make that decision to deal with your problems at home and be more patient with everybody.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. It was nice to hear from you. All right, we're going to go to, the smoking thing. We're going to go to Ted in California. Hello, Ted.
Hello, Roy. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I've only heard you once before, and it's when I come down. I live in Northern California, and I come down south for business. As I'm on the road late at night, I hear you. And I was intrigued, and I was looking for you on the dial, and I found you. And I've been struggling with, first of all, I'm a business owner and a lot of employees and pretty stressful business.
Yes.
And I've had two heart attacks.
Oh, dear. Well, then you are emotional. You are emotional under stress.
And I quit for about a year. And then I fell right back into it. And what you were saying was pretty intriguing, but it seemed like there was a lot more to what you had to say.
There is. Could you come up to the ranch for the seminar on Labor Day?
Labor Day, I'm booked.
You want to save your life?
Yes.
I think I could be instrumental in that.
Really?
There's more to that. There's more to what's wrong with you than just smoking. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
So you could have another heart attack that I know how to prevent.
See, now that's intriguing.
I hope I don't come across as braggadocious liar, but
no,
I know
no,
I
can. No, 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 you... A lot of the things you spoke about are true to my heart. And,
that means all the more if you could bring yourself up to the ranch, and because it's going to be my last seminar, because I'm not young anymore. so if you can just sit around and let me work with you and others, you'll go home stress free, and. You know, I can tell you about myself when I didn't know any better. Since you've just listened to me, I can give you a quick history. When I was 50 years old, I'm 83 now. And when I was about, 48, 50 years old, I used to go swimming in the canals. I have a house on the water, and it was polluted. I didn't know. And I swallowed some, you know, poison from a sewage plant. And so I smelled it and swam away. I used to swim several miles every day up and down in the canals. But then I got very ill. No one was able to diagnose it for years. And 4 years later, I'm almost died from it. But then a doctor friend of mine gave me a whole bunch of medical books. But on top of the big pile of the books was a little book called Merck Manual. And I realized it was a parasite. And it was. I asked the doctor for the medicine it recommended. It fixed it, but not until I had diabetes and heart problems and had to have heart surgery, and it failed. But the doctor that, you know, when it failed, I went to the doctor for another reason, and which looked like I was having another heart attack. It wasn't. It was bladder crushing my organs. It was prostate. So I've had all these problems, and operations that mess me up even more, and operations that fix what messed me up, that kind of got me back to normal. But the long and the short of it, and then I had a crash, the front end of my car disappeared. I had a heart failure. After I recovered new capillaries, I grew new capillaries. So, but even the heart failure went away by itself, and now I'm strong. I can swim 3-4 miles a day easy. I can run. My blood pressure is like 110 over 60 with a heartbeat of 55. In other words, the heart operation failed, but it grew new capillaries. Then on top of that, 3 years later, the front of my car disappeared. I had heart failure. The doctor didn't know what to do, and he gave me some fluoride, which is gets the water out of your legs. But that went away in a few weeks, and I'm stronger than ever.
God bless you.
So it's all because I wouldn't give up those experiences for all the tea in China, because I learned something throughout it all, which I can show you. You could benefit from my knowledge.
I want to find out a lot more about the ranch. And
go to the website. Website, FHU.com.
FHU.com?
And yes.
What can you give me right now just to give me by until then?
Oh, okay. Hold the line. Can you hold? What was that noise I heard? Oh. I thought he was having an exorcism. All right. I thought that motorcycle was an exorcism. Okay. All right. Now, that happens. You heard them on these programs, haven't you? They scare the living daylights out of you. You know, there are entities in people. And there are imperfect possessions and perfect possessions. The perfect possession is Adolf Hitler. You can hold up a cross. Hey, laugh. Has no effect. But then you have imperfect possessions that to varying degrees, that's easy to deal with. They don't have a complete hold on the spirit. And the victim is not in agreement with it. Where the perfect possession, the victim is not a victim. He's in agreement with it. He loves his wickedness. So a lot of you have conflicts, but it means you're possessed. It's very simple. You have an entity inside you. In other words, to put it in psychological language, you have an identity crisis. See? Now, what the hell does that mean, identity crisis? It means you're not you. In other words, something is taking over you. It's taking over your impulses. Is making you give in to them as if they were your impulses. As a matter of fact, every impulse you have, every impulse, even if it's the first lollipop you ever shouldn't have taken, and then make an excuse to your dad, that simple thing. You give in to buying clothes or something you really don't need because somehow you need to feel like you have a new skin. You know, if you look different, or hairdo, or it gets very dicey sometimes. You get addicted to plastic surgery. So you look okay for a while, and then you get uglier inside because it doesn't really cure the problem. So there's things that go bump in the night, really, is in all of us. And we just have to face it, the other self. And that's what we do, the ranch. Help the other self to go away. You get better. Okay, thank you.
On your mind. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6648. That's K6648. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call the FHU office at 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Now, let me see. I want to speak to Ted. Are you still there, Ted? Now, let's do a little experiment. Do you have a pack of cigarettes right there?
No.
Oh, what a shame.
I just had my last cigar when I got out of the truck.
Oh, you don't inhale the cigars, do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you are in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow, it's Friday, right? Is tomorrow Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you be the first person that calls me and have a cigarette handy or a cigar handy? And I'll walk you through it so that you can overcome it at least for a week or so, because I want to get you to meditate, sit quietly, and take control of your own life, your own impulses. You are not in control of your own impulses. It's only because you're frustrated with things, and I don't know what frustration is. I know what it is in you. I can remember vaguely the last time I was frustrated, which must be when I was 15. That's how long ago it was. I have no frustrations because I have no outcome. In other words, I live what I call this unselfish life. If you're selfish, and then you want something to happen as an outcome, but every outcome has a will in it. And damned if you get your will, it encourages you to be more willful, and then it backfires on you when you're more willful, and then you're upset, and then your life begins to crash. And then you get frustrated, and the frustration demands that you succeed and you make things happen, because if you don't do it, who will make it happen? But you see, in that sense, you have taken charge of what you think is your own life. And the will that's driving you is not your will. You don't possess a will. The will possesses you. And there's only two wills on this planet. The will of God or the other fellow. And you've got the other fellow and you don't know it. And he's making your life. In other words, the more successful you are, the harder you have to work to keep it going. Me, everything's happening effortlessly. Everything happens without effort. It just falls into place, everything. And if something goes wrong, big deal. I let it go, slide off me. No frustration. That leads not only to a better character, but a better insight. Because to the degree you yield to something, you are further separated from seeing clearly a better outcome. Just, in other words, rather than the one you make up, because you just lost that by being angry. So when you're angry, you lose sight of the natural course of events that will unfold like a flower. And you have to replace it with your own idea of what should be an outcome. And it happens to be a will that impinges on other people's wills and makes them fight back or makes them cringe and turn into slaves, see, and betray you. And then you're frustrated. You're frustrated if you have your way, and you're frustrated if it doesn't work. Either way, because there's something wrong about having your way, you have to hurt somebody. You see, and you have to yield to an impulse that's not healthy, so that a driving force, another power, is the driving force, and it's acting through you in a very bad way, and making, demoralizing you and degrading you of condition, where the force that acts through me is uplifting. It improves my life. It improves my calmness and my outlook and my demeanor. It makes everything work as it should. I solve problems effortlessly, just like breathing. See?
Mm-hmm.
And I want that for you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because your business will hum. Everything will work out on its own. And all the frustrations, all those problems you have are simple exercises in being patient and not letting it bother you. And the magic happens right there.
Well, the last show I listened to, you had had to think about the meditation.
You get a copy of that. You go to my website and get a copy.
And I went on the website, and my son's kind of like me. He's very goal-orientated and focused. And
that's right.
What you say makes a lot of sense, but I played with it for about a day or two and then just dropped it, but then I just fell back into the same thing I always do.
Sure, but you got to, you see, it's how can I say this? The good book says, seek first the kingdom of God and his right way and all other things to be added. But now what we do, because we have not done that for whatever reason, because we've fallen short somewhere down the line and got a little insecure, we seek the things to be added and find happiness with that. And all you have is conflict. The more you get, the more you want. And the more you want, the less satisfied you are with it, and the greater problems attend it. But if you do it the way I'm trying to tell you, everything falls into place, and you enjoy your life. And you find meaning and fulfillment and riches. Say goodbye to my friend. I appreciate it. I'm looking for Gloria Steinem. Is it Gloria? Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot of sayings here, but there's one of them. There's one or two of them that are really, really, really powerful. And I'm going to go try to find out what my friend brought to my attention, and I'll talk about it tomorrow night. Very, very, very telling. All the others don't make a whole lot of difference. But this one is very powerful. And I just want to get the quote right. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you have a store, why don't you buy a dozen or half a dozen or 20 or 30 coping strategies and put them on the counter, and veterans will come in, and people will say, what's that? They say, well, it helps stress and depression and helps overcome PTSD. Oh, how much is it? $25. Well, let's say you get $15 profit. Then you just put that aside and buy more and make sure that when a veteran comes in and you see that he is in conversation, make sure you give him one free. And then the money you give me, say the $10 for it, you should buy it wholesale. Then I will take that same money and also give it to veterans, so we both do it. See, you become a distribution center with no cost because you're doing it out of your profit. And if anyone has a connection to Costco or Walmart, please, if you can get me to put those CDs in there and they do the same thing for our military, I won't need the damn government.